This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
get ready. Check this out.
Put your hands up.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Chris Paul, is this the worst retirement tour in the history of retirement tours?
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Earlier on the show, Andrew Santino.
Still to come, senior NBA reporter Brian Windhorst, NFL executive vice president of media distributions Hans Schroeder. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Andrew Santino, one of our favorites. And support, again, if you're out there listening, certainly on ESPN Radio here in Los Angeles, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. There is a great event going down at Los Angeles Valley College on Saturday in support of Special Olympics Southern California. Going at home runs off of Bill Burr.
That would be pretty.
Actually, sounds
pretty fun.
Right.
And give it to him after.
Oh, do you? You know, I got an ability to hit home runs, Bill. Oh,
do you?
Yeah, go. Okay, that'll be on Saturday. One of our favorites, Brian Windhorst from ESPN, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Brian? Good to see you, man.
I'm just laughing at that micro impression. I liked it.
It's all good, man. It's great to see you, man. How are you? Good to see
I'm
you.
I'm good, thanks.
Awesome. Where have we found you? What backdrop is that?
Where we going? I just threw a screen. I'm in Denver today. No, I'm in my house, but I just threw a. I've got like 40 backdrops, and I just threw a cityscape.
Very good.
You like me to change? Would you like something else?
No. I mean, I didn't know you take requests.
Is that requests?
I have no idea.
Backdrop
yeah.
requests.
Where can I go for you, Rich?
This long distance dedication.
Let's go to Oklahoma City, Rich.
Okay. Let's go, actually. Let's go to Milwaukee. Or put up the background where you think Giannis wants to go.
Yes, there
you
go.
How about that? You know, what is going on with Giannis?
Yeah,
Brian?
I can understand why it's frustrating. You know, you heard Doc Rivers' comments last night, and yep. I can understand why he's frustrated. Because, you know, we've seen over the last decade, we've seen a number of star players say, okay, I'd like to no longer be here. In fact, this is, you know, let's just go back 1 year. And see what happened with Jimmy Butler, where Jimmy Butler made it very clear he no longer wanted to be with the Miami Heat, and he went on like a 6-week-long, rampage to get what he wanted. And in the end, he got to the place that he wanted for the contract that he wanted, and that team ended up being really good the rest of that year. They didn't end up winning anything, but that's kind of more the norm. Giannis has not... viewed it that way. Giannis has not, gone up and said, I want to be traded. Giannis has just expressed frustration, and his agent has had to be sort of the guy behind the scenes that has talked about stuff. And so I understand that what people want is, does he want to be traded or not? It's a simple yes or no question that doesn't have a simple answer, because he's elected to sort of try to go through the process without, having a firm decision. He's just not thrilled with where they are, but he doesn't know if he wants to go forward. So in the last 24 hours, as I've talked to people from across the league, mm-hmm. the question that they're all asking me is, do you think Giannis will actually ask for a trade? Because he's rattled the saber before. As my colleague Shams Charania, he reported a few months ago, over the summer, Giannis was really open in the mindset of, becoming a New York Knick, to the point where the Bucks and the Knicks had trade conversations. It was not the Bucks' idea, I promise you, Rich. And it was not, the Knicks weren't expecting it. It kind of came out of the blue for them. It was started by the Giannis side. Now, did Giannis come and look anybody in the eye and say, trade me to the Knicks? No, he didn't. But those talks took place because that was on the table. So the Bucks are aware that they're in a tenuous position. And they just, you know, they got their biggest win of the season last night. Giannis had an injury, and a, luckily not a severe injury, a moderate injury to his calf. But fortunately, that is not what we were talking about today. But they, when they lost to the Wizards on Monday, they fell in the 9-13. They were in 10th place in a very sort of, you know, not overly impressive Eastern Conference. They, the Bucks know that they're in trouble with Giannis. They know that they're pushing it. And so the question really is now, will Giannis cross the Rubicon in the line and say, trade me? I don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. But I do know, and Shams has reported on this for months, that it's something that Giannis is very much considering. And I know that that's frustrating to hear that gray area, but that's just where it is.
No, I know. So the trade talks that you're referring to involving Giannis over the summer that did involve the Knicks was inspired by a vibe the Bucks picked up?
No,
I mean,
come
like,
on.
So no, I'm serious. Like,
No, they were told. You know, they were told.
Right.
So, like, hey, I'm a big actions over words guy.
Yes,
okay?
Sir. Yes, sir.
The Bucks do this deal where they cut Dame Lillard. That costs them $100 million for a player who's not going to play for them anymore. Mm-hmm. Then they sign Miles Turner. They took a $100 million issue, which was a player that had torn his Achilles in his mid-30s and was owed $100 million, and they doubled down and made it a $200 million investment. The $100 million they're going to pay Dame to no longer be on their roster, and the $100 million they paid to Miles Turner. So they make a really expensive, gutsy move, okay? Giannis sees that move, and his representation says, you know, he wouldn't mind being a Knick. Now, I want you to think about if you're the Bucks. So I promise you, mm-hmm. the Bucks did not make a $200 million double down and then say, oh, I wonder what the Knicks are. I wonder if the Knicks are interested. The Knicks, okay, here's how I know that they didn't think this was coming. Because in the last week of July, they signed Mikal Bridges to a contract extension. And once they did that, he was untradeable for 6 months. And I want to just go for the nuance here. I know that when this gets chopped up in aggregation, the nuance will be exploded. But just for this audience yes. and this time, we'll
Thank
do some nuance.
Thank you, sir.
It's not necessarily that they were like, oh, we're going to trade Bridges for Giannis. But if you're about to enter into a negotiation for a top five player in the league, mm-hmm. you don't make a deal with a player that takes him off the table to be traded. Okay? So we get to the end of July, and the Knicks do this deal with Mikal Bridges. They feel good about it. They feel good about their team. Mm-hmm. So I promise you the Bucks were not looking to this negotiation, and I promise you the Knicks weren't preparing for this negotiation, and I promise you the negotiation took place. What are we left with, Rich?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did he ask to be traded? I mean, Doc Rivers can look you in the eye and say, no, he didn't ask to be traded, but clearly this was an action that Giannis had some interest in. And look, because he didn't demand to be traded, he wasn't traded. They talked, the two sides talked, no deal came through. Giannis said, I'm going to be in Milwaukee, to use his words, for the next 6 to 7 months. The Bucks signed his two brothers, and we went off into the season. And the season hasn't gone very well. And now Shams is saying today, he's looking at 2 to 4 weeks being out. The Bucks are 1-5 when he doesn't play. Like, I hope that they're able to rally and hold the fort, but where are they going to be at in 2 to 4 weeks? They're in 10th right now. They did have a great win against the Pistons last night, and I mean, that is a very impressive victory. They needed it. The Pistons were 17-4. Mm-hmm. Cade Cunningham played in the game. Jalen Duren played in the game. It was not any sort of asterisks on this. It was a bona fide, real win. They beat them down the stretch. They've been one of the best clutch teams. The Bucks outperformed them down the stretch. But, you know, this is just what's happened. And so I know that there's this real need and desire. And if I was a Bucks fan, I would be frustrated too. And if I was another fan who wanted to trade for Giannis, I would be frustrated too. But this is the landscape that we've got here. This is the way Giannis has decided to approach it. This is the way the Bucks have decided to approach it. And so I know that Giannis is you know, concerned about his future, and I don't know how it's going to play out.
Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's move to Chris Paul then. What is your reporting on the breakup? Why?
Yeah.
And how it was communicated, Brian?
Well, that's two different things.
Okay,
how it was communicated. I think we can all agree that that was an F. If you want to take Lawrence Frank at his word, the Clippers president, which I will, they decided that he was going to be sent home on Sunday, which makes me wonder why he was in Miami on Monday and why he was still in Miami all day while they had plane problems on Tuesday and while they decided to have a meeting at 11 p.m. Like, it's not the way to handle a two-way guy, quite frankly, much less handling a first ballot Hall of Famer who, you know, I think their intention was to raise his number to the rafters. And, you know, when you go into the Hall of Fame in basketball, it's not like baseball, you don't wear a hat. But, I mean, he could have gone into the Hall of Fame essentially as a Clipper. And so you just don't treat somebody that way. And so the execution of the message delivery was an absolute fail. I don't think there's anybody who could argue any differently.
Did somebody knock on his hotel room door and in after hours essentially and say, this is official, Brian?
The story as Lawrence Frank told it, and I'm not in position to...
Sure.
Was that they made the decision on Sunday. They played in Miami on Monday. It was an embarrassing performance for a number of reasons. Then, as you often see, teams will stay over in Miami after a game. And they were going to fly in the mid-afternoon Monday, which is normal. Teams typically travel on travel days in the mid-afternoon. And then they had plane trouble. I think they actually ended up having to replace the plane. But whatever, instead of leaving at 3, they left not until after 8. And they flew up to Atlanta, and instead of landing at 4:35, they landed at almost 10.
Right.
And so the meeting that they had planned to have in the mid-evening or early evening ended up happening at 11 p.m. And so the meeting lasts 3 hours, and at 2 a.m. they're done with it. And Chris Paul at that point announces to the world he's being sent home. If the decision was made on Sunday, I don't know why he was even in Miami. But, you know, like, there may have been some other factors that I don't understand. But so the rollout of this, again, I don't think it's controversial at all. I think everybody would say that was handled poorly. I don't think you should handle anybody that way on your team, much less, again, a first ballot Hall of Famer. The decision itself, and I know everyone's, you know, Ty Lue was like, oh, it wasn't my call. And players have been like, oh, it's news to us. And Lawrence Frank has come out and said, I'm the bad guy, blame me. But of course, it's more complicated than that. But I think essentially is that Chris Paul is a guy who is very vocal. And he is, for 20 years, been described as a leader by his teammates and his coaches. But just go look up the video from any Chris Paul game from the last 20 years, and you will find him giving his opinion to the official, giving his opinion to the opposing coach, giving his opinion to his coach, giving his opinion to his star teammates, giving his opinion to the role player teammates, giving his opinion to the trainers, giving his opinion to the ball boys. That's just what you can see on the cameras. This is who Chris Paul is. And when you are a star point guard who almost always has made your team better, that's part of the package that you wanted with Chris Paul. You want your point guard to be like your quarterback, to direct guys, to do this. I mean, it was Chris Paul being proactive and like walking in the Hollywood Hills with Bob Iger, taking the bull by the horns, that got the NBA bubble put together, okay? That's who Chris Paul is. Chris Paul sees a situation that needs addressing, he addresses it. And for 20 years, his team's always succeeded. I think he made the playoffs like 14 or 15 straight years. His teams were always striving to be better. They were not underachieving teams. Maybe there was one or two years where they didn't go farther in the playoffs, or maybe that you thought should have been the 2 seed and they were the 4 or whatever. But for the most part, he was on achieving teams, and he was the starter. He was the 82-game starter last year in San Antonio. So this year, he's in a position where he's the same guy, and now he's playing a bit role where he's, you know, the second or in some cases the third string point guard. And the team, instead of being achieving, where he's one of the stars, was woefully underachieving. And so I think it hits differently in the locker room when you're a bit playing role player you know, still being the guy who was the starting point guard and first ballot Hall of Famer. Now, you can say that why didn't the Clippers understand that when they signed him? And I would just say they thought they did. And there was a lot of things about this roster in this season that the Clippers thought. For example, the Clippers thought that they could replace Norman Powell with Bradley Beal and they'd be fine. That's obviously been a dramatic miscalculation and is one of the main reasons why they are 6-16 and woefully underachieving. Having Chris Paul's personality not fit on a losing team is a miscalculation, but not the most egregious miscalculation. The fact that they handled it this way, which is, like I said, the F minus apart this all, exacerbated this and made it look really worse and is just part of another miscalculation that has basically defined the season.
Well, wow, number one. Number two, you know Chris Paul doesn't want to go out this way at all. So what happens right now? Where does he wind up?
So it's complicated. I saw headlines yesterday saying the Clippers have released Chris Paul. In fact, they have not. He has not been released, and he will not be released, I don't think, for the foreseeable future. And he has not been traded, and he's not even allowed to be traded for at least another 11 days. I don't know how much you want me to get in the weeds here. NBA teams have to have 14 players on their roster. It is the rule. The Clippers have 14. The Clippers only have about $1.2 million in space that they're allowed to spend under the first apron. I know it's exhausting to talk about this, but if they cut Chris Paul today, they do not have enough money to sign another player. Okay? So they have to do one of two things. They have to trade him to another team, which I said they can't do for 11 days because as a newly signed player, you can't be traded until December 15th. Mm. Or they have to agree to a buyout where he would take less money and they would have money because his money is guaranteed. Either way, you're talking about negotiation and seeing how things play out. So what I would expect is that Chris Paul does, I have a good feel that Chris Paul does want to continue this year. He is going to retire at the end of the season. He does not want to go out this way. So I think he will look for an opportunity that makes sense. Maybe that opportunity is there now. Maybe that opportunity will present itself. Maybe it's a trade that gets worked out. Maybe he gets cut and signed. But the Clippers are not really in position where they can just cut him right now. And so he will not be cut. And so he will live in this exile nether region for some period of time. I'm not sure how long. Hopefully not too long for his sake.
So knowing all those rules, as I'm sure the Clippers front office did,
yeah,
makes me think that's a lot of opinions he was sharing for them to just say, we're done. We're done. And you're not only done, you're done here in Atlanta. And I know this is not going to play out well in the media, and it's not the way we wanted it, probably they envisioned it. But my gosh.
Somebody who's been around pro sports and is a problem-solving person,
right,
you may be seeing why the story that we're being told isn't 100% the actual story, because nobody would say, oh, the plan is to cut him in the hotel in Atlanta midnight.
Nor do they want to say he was so insufferable to be around and he with us that because of what's going on that we just can't have, you know what I mean? Like I just said the words of what I'm trying to pick up from all this. My goodness gracious. So let me ask you, let's finish up the conversation with this. When Giannis returns, let's say it's a month from now. Doc said, but I mean, this sort of stuff. How many times have we seen calf strains turn into something far worse, right? So let's give it the month here. Doc did say, we're just a 10-game win streak away from this thing going away.
If they win 10 in a row, it would go away.
They got nine more to go. They got nine more to go. Let's just say they might not win nine more in a row. They come back. He's healthy, or at least everybody believes he is. What? Play it out for me. What trade deadline is when, and who might be interested? And I'm imagining this won't be a pocket listing just for the Lakers if it happens. So, what do you think? Play it out for me, Brian.
So this is the conversations I've been having for a day now.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
So the question is, will, you know, and obviously the injury is a new factor in all this. So I don't know how it affects it. Okay.
Right.
Will Giannis simply rattle the saber like he has in the past? And the Bucks, when he's rattled the saber in the past, like, you know, there were times when Giannis, you can go back and look at it. I won't give you the exhaustive, but, you know, like, for example, Giannis a few years ago said, I'm not going to sign the contract extension that they have on the table right now. I'm just going to wait. And then they traded for Dame Lillard, and he signed the contract extension, okay? you know, like, he had another contract extension. They traded for Drew Holiday. He obviously was had some angst the way this last season ended. They go out and make this Miles Turner trade. I think they're pretty much out of moves, but John Horst and the Bucks ownership have pulled off some things. Like, maybe there's a move that they could make where they get a player and it does help them. Maybe they don't go 10-0, but maybe they go 6-4 or 7-3 mm-hmm. and Giannis comes back, because this has happened. Giannis has radically changed before. So people wonder, like, will he actually ask for the trade? That's an unknown. That's number one. Number two, let's say that he does ask for the trade. Is it a situation where it's, you know, in August, it was a one team list. It was the Knicks. If he does ask for that trade, are the Knicks still number one? Or is it three teams, four teams, nine teams, 13 teams? I don't know. The third thing is, Giannis, after this season, has 1 year plus a player option left on his contract, but essentially 1 year. When we see players in this situation, Jimmy Butler was an example of this. Last year, Jimmy Butler had 1 year left on his contract. Anybody who traded for him knew that they had to have a contract understanding with him. So when he went to Golden State, they negotiated a contract extension with the trade, and he signed it. Now, Giannis is not eligible to sign an extension for rules that I won't get into right now, but you certainly would want to know that if you traded the sun, the moon, and the stars for Giannis, that he intended to sign next summer. So the question would be, does Giannis get to control this if he actually asks for a trade? And I have talked to a bunch of people in the league with this exact question, and I thought the answer would be yes. He's been there 12 years. He won a championship. He's won two MVPs. They want a respect for him. They want the most that they can possibly get in a trade. Giannis, they would work with Giannis. Not everybody agrees with me. People in the league think that the Bucks, if they had to, would make a deal where they wouldn't do what Giannis wanted. I don't believe that. I believe that Giannis would basically choose his team. So if you're a Laker fan, which is really what you're getting to, Rich, what you're saying, because the Laker fans are like, well, when are you going to say how he's getting to the Lakers? Like, when are you getting to that?
Yeah.
If Giannis said to the Bucks, trade me to the Lakers,
yes, sir.
He would be a Laker. But any other way, I don't see how the Lakers do it. Because I don't think the Lakers can win a bidding war. Okay? If it's a bidding war where there's teams offering draft picks and players and stuff, because I don't know how long-winded you want me to go here, but the Bucks don't control their next three drafts. Okay? So the Bucks starting a rebuild where they like, okay, we're gonna sink down and get, that doesn't work because they don't control their picks. Mm. So the Bucks probably are either gonna want real players who help them today in a trade, or they're gonna want draft picks from a third team. What I mean by that, a third team, is me having my draft pick doesn't work. I don't control the next three. I'm trading you Giannis Antetokounmpo. Your team's gonna be awesome. Giving me your draft picks for the next couple of years aren't doing me any good. Do you have third team picks that might be valuable? And so these are all things that would be valuable. I don't think the Lakers have a package that can win out teams that have draft picks, have good players, and have third party. There's teams out there that are good teams that have third party draft picks that could offer. So I don't think the Lakers can win a bidding war. But if Giannis says, make me a Laker, yes, there's a deal there that could happen because the Lakers have a bunch of expiring contracts that I think could make it. But I do think it would be a bit of a journey to get there, but not impossible.
All right. Plus, I don't think John Horst wants to have his name in the rafters next to Nico Harrison's as a retired jersey in crypto.
Yes.
As fans of the Lakers
Luka
are trying
to say a word. That's the difference. That's the difference.
Well, I'm sure. Wild, man. This is wild. Listen, I know I've kept you.
Or he doesn't ask for it at all, and he's a Buck for the next 6 months. What
it
do
could
you want
be. It could be. It's what he wants. Hey, man, I know I've kept you so long, but you want to spend a minute on the last time when we spoke for forever? You're like, we're not paying attention to Jokic enough. And then that night he drops 55 on the Clippers, and right now he is 100% in the averaging a triple double for the season, with shooting almost 62% from the floor. It's insane what he's doing.
I just want you to know that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
yes, sir,
is on a team that is 21-1.
Yes, sir.
He just put up a month where he is a reigning MVP, the Finals MVP, all that stuff. He just had one of the best 6-week stretches of his career on a team that's 21-1. Mm. He did not win Western Conference Player of the Month, and I agree. I agree that it was Jokic, because Jokic was so amazing that he even overcame that, is how great that he has been.
I figured you'd want to have the floor on that, and we should be paying more attention to what's going down there, and maybe that's why you chose that as your backdrop. Denver, Colorado. Good to see you, Brian.
Thanks about that. There he goes.
Thanks,
there he goes. He's flying across the sky.
There he goes to block another shot, to maybe get a quadruple-double. Thanks. As always, you're the best.
Have a great day,
Thanks,
Rich.
Pal. Right back at you. Brian Windhorst, nobody better, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's take a break. We got to go. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here. Awesome.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Colby in Georgia wants to chime back in again. What's up, Colby? How you been?
What's up, Rich? How are you doing?
I am doing well. As always, you know, what's my first question for you, Colby? What's my first question for you? What do you think? Guess what I want to ask you first up.
How's the coach doing?
No, why aren't you in school? That's my first question.
Because I'm homeschooled.
Ah, that's right.
So he is at school.
You are at school, and your brilliant homeschooling is, let's take some time out and call the Rich Eisen Show, right?
Genius.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, sir.
Is he getting credit for this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Extra credit.
Because you should get extra credit.
That's right. You should.
You should.
What can we sign?
What can we do?
Yeah.
Journalism.
All right. Colby, what do you got for me? What do you want? What's on your mind?
I want to say that I am really confused with the Dolphins right now.
Why?
I don't know what's happening.
Why? Why? Why are you confused? Let's walk you through it.
Because I just feel like at the start of the season, I feel like it's this win-loss. Lately, though, we've been on a win streak, so I'm glad about that.
Yes, sir.
I just feel like every time things start to get going, it just goes downhill again.
Well,
something goes wrong.
Colby, your Miami Dolphins this week are visiting the New York Jets and then have a chance to get back to 500 on Monday night in front of the whole country at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then from there, it's all on. Who knows what's going to happen after that? So let's take it one day at a time, right? Like one game at a time. I'll give you there's one word as to why it's happening. You want to know what that word is, Colby? You want to guess what that word is? Guess what the word is.
It's
a name. It's a last name. Give me the name of the guy that's the reason why it's happening. What do you think? Starts with an A and ends with a Chan. That's his name. A Chan, pal. That guy. You know what? It's a higher register Thursday. I'll ask the question in higher register. Should Achan be in the mix for Offensive Player of the Year?
Ooh, really great question. He is a beast.
He's unbelievable.
But when you're 5-7.
No, I understand that. But it's a stat-related award. There's five guys who can win it. I mean, there's five finalists, essentially, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So Colby, that's the guy. He's just been unstoppable. And he's the one that he's a home run hitter. He may be the best home run hitter, and name a Marlin. He's probably more of a home run hitter than any of them, to be honest with you.
I definitely think if you can keep it up, you'll have a good chance.
Thanks for the call. Colby in Georgia, everybody.
All right, Colby.
Your top six for odds for Offensive Player of the Year.
Let me go.
Okay, great.
Offensive Player of the Year, McCaffrey.
McCaffrey's fourth.
Jonathan Taylor.
He's second.
Is Achan on any of these?
No.
Okay.
Gibbs,
number one?
Gibbs is fifth.
Who's one?
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Okay. There you go.
He's -125, Taylor -105, and then it's either between those two right now, and then it jumps up. George Pickens, 25-1.
Pickens.
McCaffrey, 35-1. Gibbs, 75-1. Devin Achan is 125-1.
And that's probably because of the record of the team.
Sure.
Guy's been unreal, man.
James Cook is 100-1.
I might have some numbers on to support all this stuff, but I don't think I printed out anything on the Dolphins on this week 14.
George Pickens, though, that's an interesting top three there.
Dude, he's been unbelievable.
I was looking up
He's the closest to Jackson Smith and Jigba in receiving yards.
Yeah, I was looking up some old overreaction takes from the offseason, and there was one in May where I said George Pickens would lead the Cowboys in touchdowns, and he does.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know who loves being right more, me with my regular takes or you with your
outlandish ones that end up sort of coming true.
Well, it's not just that, too, because you are, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know what you love more is being aggregated by our friends at ESPN and Disney or for your hot takes
on the Tuesdays. I know
they take you literally.
They take it literally, which is just like, can you guys just at least say in the copy that it's overreaction Monday on a Tuesday?
Because right. Most people don't know.
Yeah, right.
All right. I'm glad we tap danced long enough. Here are the numbers for HN. 1,404 scrimmage yards, sixth in the NFL. He ranks third in the NFL in rush yards with 1,034. Fifth in touches with 240. Most rush yards through 12 games by a Miami player since?
Ricky Williams.
Bingo. 1,284 in 2002. He's the leading pass catcher for the Dolphins.
I was going to say, he probably...
Tyreek been gone for quite some time.
How many does he have?
54.
Wow.
When he touches the ball 20 times in a game, that's happened 5 times. You want to guess what the Dolphins' record is?
5-0.
Correct. They're 0-7 in all the others. Wow. That's why when I say H, I didn't even know that stat. That's why I tell Colby,
wow.
Listen, we're homeschooling you, sir. He's had 100 or more scrimmage yards in each of the last 4 games, all wins. He's led the NFL in scrimmage yards with 157.5 per game since week 9. The only player with more games than his 10 with 90 or more scrimmage yards this year is Christian McCaffrey. 120 or more rush yards in 3 straight games. That's tied with the aforementioned Ricky Williams for the longest streak in Dolphins history. The only one with more of a streak in such a regard in the last 10 seasons with 4. 120 or more rush yards in a game for 4 straight games in 2016. You want to guess who that was, TJ? I'm asking you for a reason. 2016.
Oh, DeMarco Murray.
No,
Zeke. Oh, 16. Okay.
Man, maybe H-Chan at 125-1 isn't a bad sprinkle.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If the Dolphins run the table, why not?
That's what I'm just telling you, man. What happened? Well, let's trade away Jalen Phillips. Let's fire the general manager before we do that. Why is it happening? Well, Tua's not throwing the interceptions as much.
Which Mike McDaniel told us. Yeah, hey, we don't throw 10 picks. I think we'll be all right.
And they're running the hell out of the football. 160 or more rushing yards in each of their last 3 games.
Yeah. All wins.
Achane.
He's been dominant.
Let's not put the ball in the air as much. Let's get this guy dominating and play enough defense. And obviously the schedule softened up too, helped.
For sure. While we're back.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, let's take a break. I've got a top 5 list.
Hey.
Top 5 teams that should finish well.
Should.
I'm not going to sit here and say they're definitely finishing well. They should, looking at how they've played and how the schedule's breaking.
So with your chest, you will not say it.
Well, I'm. It's called nuance, sir.
Yoda.
That's what happens on this program. Let's take a break. More of your phone calls as well here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
That's funny.
Back here on The Rich Eisen Show here on ESPN Radio. Oh, and our,
that was great.
Our feed all together here. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program.
Segment.
Is that right? Okay. Hyundai Hope on Wheels is something that everybody should go to HyundaiUSA.com and check it out. For over 27 years, every single Hyundai sold has helped make sure that pediatric cancer research is as well-funded as possible. Hundreds of millions of dollars has been raised. It is awesome. Make sure you check it out. Hyundai Hope on Wheels, over 800 dealers nationwide have been together working to make sure that we don't hear about anything negative on this front ever again. Mm-hmm. At Hyundai, hope doesn't come optional. It is standard. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. I've got a top five list, everybody.
Let's do it.
Yeah, you do.
I do. I'm glad you're happy about it, because I am as well.
Well, I just like that. I know the Brock Pitt's going to argue your five with you no matter what it is.
So no, it's not true.
I enjoy that.
This is all good. My top five teams that I've done a top five negatively, which is teams that I'm concerned about how they're going to finish. Now I'm going to raise expectations. These are my top five teams that should finish strong, presented by Hyundai. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, everybody. My top five teams that should finish strong.
Okay.
I don't want to hear anything otherwise.
Okay.
These teams should finish strong.
Don't screw it up.
Yeah.
Number five on the list.
Five?
I'm not quitting them.
Oh, jeez.
Kansas City Chiefs should finish strong.
Come on, what are we doing?
What do you mean, what are we doing? What does that mean?
They're going to lose on Sunday. How is that starting off with a finish strong?
Only one of their six losses have come at Arrowhead. One. And the Colts had them dead to rights the last time, and they let them off the hook. So the Chiefs have their toughest opponents remaining on their schedule are at home. If you take a look at it, yes, Houston's stout. And then the Chargers are coming into town. And they have Denver coming into town on Christmas night on Prime Video. Those are the toughest ones. They're at Tennessee. They're at Vegas. Let's just say they don't lose at home because it's Arrowhead and things go well for them there and they're tickling everybody's tonsils. They should finish strong. They're number five on my list. How dare you feel otherwise?
It's like you get royalties for mentioning the Chiefs.
I do not, sir.
I really thought he was going to put the Bengals in there.
Let me shut you up. Hold right on, now. Hold Number on. Four on the list of the Patriots.
Oh.
Well, yeah, we have the easiest schedule.
I keep
hearing from everyone that we have the easiest schedule.
You are home against the Bills and you're at the Ravens. But after that, yeah, you're at the Jets and you're home for Miami. You should finish strong. Let me ask you this question real quick. Do you want them to lose?
Oh, man.
As a Patriot fan, would you prefer one of these final games result in a loss so that could potentially help grow, get it out of the way, as they say?
No.
Okay.
I want to win out because if you win out, that's one seed. So you get the bye. Then all you got to do is win two games in this Super Bowl. Let's go.
Okay. So you want to go into the playoffs on a 14-game win streak.
07. Undefeated year.
Right.
Probably would have been nice to lose one of those. Like at Baltimore, that probably would have been nice to lose.
But you didn't lose in the Super Bowl because you hadn't lost one
yet. No, that's true. It's couldn't block Michael Strahan and Justin Tuck. Yeah.
Right. Everyone else on that defensive line was you didn't have to blitz Brady. You just could put four sets of hand in the dirt and go get him.
That was rough. I'll never forget that night.
And catch one off your helmet.
Ugh, Rodney Harrison. That play should honestly keep Rodney Harrison out of the Hall of Fame.
Stop it. That's absurd that you would give slander like that. All right. Patriots should finish strong. Number three on the list of top five teams that should finish strong are the San Francisco 49ers. Should come off their bye. And you look at the Niners' remaining schedule. They're home for Tennessee. They're at Indianapolis. They have a home game against Chicago, which is going to be outstanding on Sunday night. And they have then a home date with Seattle. They should go into that game against Chicago on a 5-game win streak, with all due respect to the Colts. And they should finish strong. And they should win maybe 11, if not 12 games. And they'll be a playoff team finishing strong and feeling good about themselves. I don't care if it's a last place schedule. They have crushed it with everybody being hurt, mm-hmm. mostly. Good thing for them, it's not McCaffrey. Number two on the list. You know who should finish strong? Your team should finish strong, TJ. The Dallas Cowboys should finish strong. Because if they win tonight, their remaining football games are against the Minnesota Vikings, and Chargers are at home. And then they take on Washington and the Giants on the road. And those stadiums should be filled in Washington and in New Jersey. Chock full of Cowboys fans going nuts.
Mm-hmm. Say it again.
It's the truth.
Say it again.
Your team should finish strong. And I don't know where they're going to wind up. Again, coming into, you know, this game tonight, the chances for making the playoffs are 17%, and if they beat the Lions, it's up to 31%. That 3-5-1 start is like a cinder block right now.
Yeah.
But each win chips away at that cinder block and makes it less of a presence undertowing them.
Five winnable games. Let's go, boys.
And come the on, number TJ. One team to finish up strong are the Cincinnati Bengals. To heck with everybody
on,
else.
Man. Seriously?
Yes. 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 I'm quadrupling and quintupling down. Yes, they should finish strong.
Come on.
Joe Burrow is back.
Yeah, baby.
The defense is suddenly balling out.
Let's go.
They're going into Western New York, and every single Bills fan will tell you if they are filled with sodium pentothal or not, or whatever is in their red cups.
Labatt's
blue.
With Burrow coming in this weekend, everybody's Bill's sphincter is getting a little tighter. Okay? And then they can have the Ravens. It'll be Burrow's first home start week 15 with the Ravens coming in, a chance to sweep them. Then they're at Miami on a Sunday night. Then they're home for Arizona and Cleveland. Let's go. The season is not over. They are the number one team that should finish strong in the entire National Football League. Yes.
Season is not
correct.
Over.
And I will be proven right, and it's going to be delightful. What I'm doing right now is just a mere appetizer of what would happen if I'm proven ultimately right. Forget the other details as to why I thought the season was not over throughout. Hit it.
You have one more. That's right. I did not know
that's
this.
My boy. And I'm just going to keep doubling down on this one too. More. Take a chill pill, Eagles fans.
Oh, jeez.
Nah, they don't have to include
take
them.
A pill of the chill variety. Okay? I do know that in the commercial break prior to this segment, Jalen Carter's been ruled out for the Monday Nighter.
Had a weird surgery on his shoulder.
I get it.
Yeah.
It
was
seems bad.
It doesn't sound good.
That hurts.
I understand. But there's you know what also hurts? Jalen.
Yeah.
That's right. He's coming. And so is Saquon, and so is this team, and they're taking on a Chargers team that's got Justin Herbert with a left hand that needs screws in it. He says he's going to play on Monday night.
He's practicing today.
Got it. Home for Vegas, two against Washington, and you going to Western New York. The Philadelphia Eagles have what it takes. The question is it going to happen? I don't know. But they should finish strong, 100%, and let's go. Take a chill pill, Philly. Stop egging the OC's house.
Yeah, what are we
get
doing?
Get a sense of yourself. Get a grip, man. And then also, you know what the Eagles need is a home game on the road. Every Eagle fan that comes into SoFi Stadium on Monday night, and there's going to be a lot of them, every single one of them will be in a better mood than anybody else that day. Like, what was in their turkey? On Friday. Boo. That one dude is like, man, I know I shouldn't do that sort of stuff because people screen grab and make GIFs.
Great still frame.
But seriously, that dude. All of that. Like last year didn't happen. What is going on? Everybody, though, on Monday night, they're going to be like, this is amazing. So you're going to have a happy home crowd on the road. Isn't that amazing? They got to go on the road to have a better home crowd. Supporting the team. That's my top five list, everybody. Presented by Hyundai.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.